Welcome to CME on ReachMD. This episode is part of our Minute CE curriculum. Prior to beginning the activity, please be sure to review the faculty and commercial support disclosure statements, as well as the learning objectives.
This is CME on ReachMD, and I'm Dr. Sammy Kella. Here with me today is Dr. Marcia Waddington Cruz. Marcia, in your practice, what factors raise your index of suspicion for ATTR-V polyneuropathy? And what clinical features do you see as red flags that differentiate patients with this disease?
Thank you, Sammy. So there are two different scenarios. One is what we see in endemic areas where we are dealing more with V30M and early onset patients. Then whenever you have a polyneuropathy with mostly sensory aspects plus autonomic or just autonomic, and then you have one or more of several features like family history, weight loss, and talking about sometimes 5 to 20 kilos of weight loss, not just any weight loss. Arrhythmias, we see a lot of conduction abnormalities, sometimes depending on the mutation, vitreous opacities, and renal dysfunction, beginning from microalbuminuria, then finally really reaching the function of the kidney. This is something that we should raise our suspicion. If you have any of these features of this scenario, then we should at least try to think about ATTR polyneuropathy and ask for a genetic test. In non-endemic areas, this is a little bit more complicated because most of the time you are dealing with late onset cases and no V30M. Most of the time, the patient will present with a polyneuropathy that is very important on sensory, but also on motor aspects, less evident autonomic aspects. But then if we find anything that I already mentioned for the previous case, plus autonomic dysfunction and cardiac hypertrophy that will finally end in loss of function, vitreous opacities that I mentioned before, maybe more important in this case, bilateral carpal tunnel syndrome, then we should really, once again, try to look into the possibility, even in the absence of a family history, it's more difficult to be evident in this scenario, we should think about ATTR-V polyneuropathy.
So the takeaway messages from Marcia just mentioned are a patient with a polyneuropathy, whether they be on the younger side in their 30s or 40s, or possibly on the older side in their 60s or 70s, who has a progressive polyneuropathy with systemic symptoms. So whether they these are cardiac or autonomic, meaning orthostatic hypotension or cardiomyopathy or diarrhea and constipation, and in the younger patient, erectile dysfunction, any of those systemic processes or other organs involved as the eye and so forth should raise the possibility of ATTR polyneuropathy or hereditary amyloid polyneuropathy. Well, this has been a bite-sized discussion. Thanks so much for joining us.
You've been listening to CME on ReachMD. This activity is provided by Prova Education and is part of our Minute CE curriculum. To receive your free CME credit or to download this activity, go to reachmd.com/Prova. Thank you for listening.